appreciate that song. You know, when people ask about Sister Laura, and so many people know Sister Laura, she's been all over the country. You know, they when they find out she's a member here, that's the one song that they always ask. And does she still sing that song? I think that's the first time she sang that here, and it is a beautiful song. I don't think I've ever heard it sang, so I do appreciate that very much. Well, once again, this evening we do want to welcome each and every one out to the house of the Lord tonight, and certainly we want to continue to pray that the Lord would bless us today and bless all those who are here as far as listening goes, or maybe those who might be listening over the radio or over the internet or whatever way it might be. You know, I'm always amazed at how the Word of God can travel. I kind of mentioned that this morning a little bit in the message, but, you know, we listen to this message tonight maybe, and then 2 days later, 3 days later, 4 days later, maybe even a month later, somebody may be listening to it in China or France or wherever it might be. Looking at the stats that we have, you know, we have somebody is listening regularly in France. I don't know who it is, but somebody seems to be. And we have listening in China, quite a few in China as well, and just all around the world. And certainly are thankful for that, and just pray God's blessings upon whoever the words may fall upon the ears of today. Now, for those who were with us last Lord's Day, we began a study in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I told you that last week that the book of 1 Corinthians is written to kind of straighten out some things that have gone wrong since Paul's departure there. And the book of Corinthians is a good book for us to look at, to kind of put ourselves up in the mirror of, so to say, to help evaluate our own selves to make sure that we don't fall into that same kind of type of patterns and things that we see here in the church at Corinth. Excuse me. Last week in particular, in chapter 1, we saw the big problem that Paul addresses right away. And that is the issue of divisions within the church. Now, the first division that we see in the church there at Corinth that Paul addresses is the fact that there were some who held out that their salvation or perhaps their baptism was better than others because of who preached to their message of salvation or even perhaps who baptized them. Now, as you look at that argument, as you look at how division could happen over that, you know, it would seem like a silly thing almost to us to have a problem over. But the fact remains, when we look at it, division still exists in churches today. And as a matter of fact, division is not a rare thing. Division is something that we see quite a bit. And division is detrimental to the growth of a church. Division is detrimental to the focus of a church. And the truth is that even today, when you look at this age-old thing that was going on in Corinth, you see a lot of people today who, in fact, are following after one preacher or another, feeling that one preacher perhaps preaches nothing but the truth, and then all these other people, maybe they don't quite preach the truth like they do, and they kind of follow after. Listen, folks, whoever it is that preaches to you, it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility, if it's Greg or if it's Randy or whoever it might be that is up here teaching or preaching the Word of God or whoever we might have come in, it is up to us to go to God's Word and see if the things that they say are thus saith the Lord. We don't need to get after preacher following and trusting more in the preacher than in the Word of God. We need to follow after the Word of God. Now, you know, as we look at the church at Corinth was very fortunate in the fact that they had Paul there to instruct them for so long. He was there for several months. And, that, of course, that's something that we don't have. We didn't have the instruction of Paul necessarily here on a daily basis like they had. But you know what? There is something that we have that they didn't have, and that is that we have the whole counsel of God's Word to look at to instruct us. We have not just the writings of Paul, but we have the writings of James and Peter and John and all of these others as well to instruct us on how to behave and how to act within the church. Now, with that being said, let's look together to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians together. And we're going to go through this chapter kind of verse by verse. And I want you to remember that chapter 1 was the primary focus was division. And though tonight in chapter 2 we're not going to hear that word division so much, he's not done talking about division. Because when we get to chapter 3, we're going to see that he starts talking about division once again with a little bit different twist on it. But what he's doing in chapter 2 is he's laying the groundwork for chapter 3. So keep that in mind, that even though not necessarily talking about division in particular in chapter 2, we're still focused on the same subject. Now, in verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, last week we saw how Paul spoke about the power of the gospel message. He spoke about the simplicity of that message. And again, here Paul focuses on how when he came to Corinth, he taught them plain and simple the message of Jesus Christ, plain and simple the message of Jesus Christ crucified. He did not teach them, further on, he didn't teach them Jesus Christ and the importance of baptism for salvation. He didn't teach them Jesus Christ and the necessity of keeping after the law or anything like that. The message that he preached was Jesus Christ. And as we go through here in what follows, you'll see that the preaching of the gospel was truly his focus the whole time that he was there. And notice it wasn't with excellency of words either. You know, Apollos, we learned last week, Apollos came after Paul. And Apollos had a silver tongue, so to say, or a golden tongue, you might even say that. Paul, when he taught, he was plain, he was simple. You know, I had a guy tell me this week, we were changing the battery there on the car this week, and he was out there and he was talking about how things had gone in the past year in his church and how the Lord had saved several of the youth of the church. And he kept emphasizing the point that it was all about what the preacher said at the right moment in order for those kids to be saved. Folks, it is not that kind of thing. It's not the persuasiveness of the preacher that is the necessity. You know, I know that God has gifted some men with great speech and great delivery when it comes to preaching. And you know, as we fill out the nomination sheet back there, you know, usually the first two people that's always on there is Tom Ross and Joe Collins. Why? Because they have a gift. They have a gift that they have a good delivery, and they keep us kind of hanging on for more a lot of times. And I'm thankful for men like them, and I'm thankful that God is using them, and I'm thankful for the times that they can come in and fill in the pulpit and preach to us. But that being said, you know, every preacher is not Joe Collins, and every preacher is not Tom Ross. And I am also just as much thankful, folks, for the slow, methodical preaching and teaching of God's Word that instructs the saints in the whole counsel of God's Word. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit can take that preaching and that teaching and deliver it to our hearts. Sometimes it's from the most uneducated of men. Sometimes you listen to some people preach and they sound even more country than me, more ignorant than me. And yet the Word of God is being blessed because it's the power of the message that's behind it. It's the power of the Spirit that is working miracles in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Verse number 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You know, everywhere Paul seemingly went, he faced danger. Typically, the first people that would be against him would be the Jews of the city. That was typically the first people that Paul would always go to. If there were any Jews in the city, he'd go to the synagogue, and first he'd preach to them that Christ has come. And often the Jews would rise up against him. And then he would go to the people of the foreign worship, the pagan gods, those, and he would begin to bring converts unto them. And you know what? It wouldn't take very long before some of those people would start to come against him because they were taking money away from the temples and worship from the temples and things like that. And you know, I told you last week as we look at this at the city of Corinth and we look at the church here that was in it, Corinth was a city whose patron goddess was Aphrodite. I told you last week of how prostitution and all kinds of great acts of unrighteousness were all but too common in the city itself. And can you imagine just for a moment being Paul walking into this great pagan city and then beginning to preach and teach about living a chaste lifestyle, about abstaining from idols, about not going into the prostitutes and all of these things that he would have been preaching, you know? And I know that Paul, as he preached, as we see in the Word of God, as we see example after example, Paul, I know, preached boldly on a daily basis. But you know what else? I know that Paul preached daily knowing that tomorrow there might be a lynch mob to come after him. How could he not? Because it's happened in nearly every city that he's been to so far. Now, in verses 4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul is going to start centering on two different ways here in the Scripture. He's going to start centering on the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. He is preaching here in Corinth was never based upon the clever kinds of arguments of men, so to say. He didn't get involved in such things. He didn't get involved in these kind of foolish discussions, so to say. He preached the power of God. And that's what he spoke of here in verse 5. Now, we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But you know what? God's power does not stop there, does it? You see, God's power is found on every page. God's power is found in every verse of the Word of God. Do you want to experience the power of God tonight? You know what I hear so much about on some of these televangelist shows and radio programs that I experience? And the power of God. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. The power of God is not found in running up and down the aisles. The power of God is not found in rolling on the floor. The power of God is not up here dancing on this stage and the playing of the rock and roll music and that kind of stuff. That is not the power of God. That is a frenzy. It may be entertaining to the flesh. But the power of God comes from the Word of God. It is plain. It is simple. It's the Spirit that takes those words and places them in the heart. And it is power to the hearts of men and women, folks. And it fills your soul with gladness, and it fills your soul with joy. Let's read on. Verse number 6. "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Paul, again, is laying the foundation here of some things that he's going to talk about later, about problems going on. But here in this verse, the word perfect, I want you to understand the word perfect does not mean sinless in nature. That's not what he's talking about here. When we see the word perfect here, it is speaking of one who has maturity in the faith. Maturity in the faith. To those who have become more spiritually mature, so to say, the more Paul is able to teach them the deeper things of the Word of God. Things like strong doctrine. Folks, it does us no good to talk to someone who has just learned about Christ and then starting to look and debate with them and talk to them about things like superlapsarianism and infralapsarianism. You know what? It doesn't do us any good to talk about stuff like that to people who have just been saved. And folks, you know what? I'm not sure that arguments like that does any good for people who have been saved a long time. Men learn best how. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Verse number 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." You know, one time, I don't know if you remember it or not, I preached a series of sermons called Mysteries Revealed. Mysteries Revealed. We talked about that word mystery in the Word of God. And, you know, the Word of God that you have sitting in your laps here tonight is a book of great mystery. Mysteries revealed in many ways. Things that God foreordained before the foundation of this world, and He has put them into His Word. And you know what? It takes some understanding. It takes some study to understand these things. And most of these things, you know, God gave us a glimpse of understanding in the Old Testament. But when it comes to the New Testament, these things become more fully revealed. But still yet, we've got to learn it line upon line and precept upon precept, because it's not always there for us just to see like that. For instance, folks, in the Word of God, nowhere will you ever see the word Trinity. Did you know that? Nowhere in the Word of God will you ever see that word. But we believe in the Trinity. Why? Because it is a mystery revealed unto us when we look at the whole counsel of God's Word, when we turn to the New Testament and we see the relationship of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and how these three work together as one and how the Scripture refers to them. It is because the mystery that is revealed to us in the New Testament regarding the Trinity, that then we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and begin reading there and see the Trinity in creation. And you go through the Old Testament and you see the Trinity bore out time and time and time again. The doctrines of grace, you know, they are a mystery revealed to us in His Word. Nowhere in the Old Testament do we find the doctrines of grace listed out for us. As a matter of fact, when you get to the New Testament, you won't see the 5 points of Calvinism listed in 5 verses the way that we would like to necessarily find them. You've got to dig a little bit to find them. But once you know them, you know what? You can see the principles of the doctrines of grace from where? Genesis to Revelation. You see those principles throughout the Word of God. How about the rapture? The rapture, you know, that's another mystery in the Word of God that's been revealed to us. You know, the word rapture, again, nowhere found in the Word of God. You won't find that word there. You find what the word means. Certainly, we looked at that this morning when we looked at the word caught up. But you know what? When we learn the Word of God, line upon line, we see how God's Word teaches us that Christ is coming back for His saints. We learn how He has prepared a place for us just over in glory land. We understand the mystery of what is waiting for us on the other side because God's plans have been revealed to us in His words. Just like that holy heavenly city of New Jerusalem coming down. It is revealed to us what that means and when that will be. Now, let's see what Paul speaks of here as he speaks still of those who are mature in wisdom of God and not necessarily in the things of this world. Verse number 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. When we look at the Old Testament, from the first book to the last book, it anticipates the coming of the Messiah. It is full of types, it is full of shadows throughout, it is full of timetables, as we saw in the book of Daniel. Listen, if the princes and the rulers of this world would have been wise to the Word of God, they would have recognized Jesus for who He was, when He was here, for what He did here on this earth. And if they would have known who He truly was, they would have never desired to put Him on the cross. If they would have known who He truly was, their desire would have been to what? To set Him up as King even then. But the fact was is that the rulers of this world and the princes of this world were not wise to the things of God. They had no interest in the things of God. And that is why they did not seek to do those things when He was here, but sought to crucify Him instead. Verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, what we're reading here is a quote from the prophet Isaiah. God had so much wisdom in His Word. And it's, you know what, the wisdom of His Word is there for the taking if we journey down the road to spiritual maturity and actually study out His Word, to read His Word. You know, I'm amazed that every time that I open up the Word of God and I start reading things that I've read so many times before, the Spirit still shows me things that I have never seen before. It never gets old. Never gets old. The Spirit also works that way through the preaching of His Word. I tell you what, sometimes I listen to some people preach the Word of God and they'll read through something that maybe it seems like I've read 100 times, maybe even preached from. But then they'll start to focus on a verse that has with a certain phrase inside of a verse and something that I've totally missed. All those times that I read before, but God uses the Spirit there to reveal those things and teach me those things. So brothers and sisters, we need to be wise in the Word of God. We need to become wise in the Word of God so that we can become spiritually mature. And listen, God desires for His children to be spiritually mature. He desires that His children be wise. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us over there, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Folks, if you want to be wise in the ways of God, we need to go boldly to His throne, not wavering, but ask in faith, and then begin to study His Word, and you will see, in fact, that He will show you many great things in His Word. Now, let's read on in verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When the Lord saved us, His Spirit came to reside within us. When the Spirit of God resides within, the things of this world, the desires of this world, the carnality of this world needs to go. It needs to go. When the world is pushed away, the Spirit is fed by the Word of the Lord and will show again that person great things, will lead them in greater spiritual maturity. Let's continue reading here. Which things also we speak, not in the words of men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, my friends, here is the answer to so many questions. You know, I know some men who are very intelligent. Very intelligent. I know a lot of women that are very intelligent. When I say men, don't think I'm just talking about men. I'm not. Listen, I know those who know a lot of things about the Word of God, but you know what? They do not understand Jesus Christ. They cannot understand the great truths of God's Word. They want to look at the Bible with human wisdom. They want to look at the Bible and they want to compare it to the writings of Buddha. They want to look at the Bible and compare it to the writings of Confucius. They want to look at the Bible and compare it to the writings of Muhammad. And listen, folks, they look at the work of God here and they look at and they want to say, well, this is just one of the paths to happiness. This is just one of the paths to a better society, so to say. And they want to leave it up to interpretation, as if it, we're looking at some kind of modern art piece and we can pull anything out of it that we want to pull out of it. That's how a lot of people look at the Word of God. And that's where a lot of people are at in their thinking. They don't look at the Bible as the Word of God, the complete Word of God. They look at it as stories out of the imaginations of men to create something good and stable for society. They like to debate with you on things. You know, one of the things that they love to talk about is the doctrines of grace again. I've talked about it a little bit tonight in different ways. But, You know, I think, you know, Heather one time, she had a history professor, and they were talking about Calvin, and he asked them at one time to raise their hands if they believed in the doctrines of grace or Calvinism, as he said. And, you know, I don't know if she was the only one that raised her hand. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. But she did. She raised her hand. And you know what? He didn't understand, folks, of the doctrines of grace. He looked at her and asked her if she felt bad about herself all the time. Is the doctrines of grace something that makes you feel bad about yourself all the time? Listen, folks, he did not understand. He cannot understand the joy that is found in these doctrines. To know that God loved me before the foundation of this world, provided himself a Savior for me, and to know that he is keeping me safe in his hand and that nothing can remove me from it. Folks, is that the kind of thing that depresses you? No, that's the kind of thing that makes me shout for joy, folks. It makes me shout for joy. Now, he is like so many today, they cannot understand the Word of God. Why? Because they do not know God. It is impossible to understand the Word of God unless you know God. You may understand some of the stories of God. You may understand a lot about the history of the Word of God. And you may read some things and think, well, that's nice. You know, the masses, when Jesus Christ was here upon this earth and he went through and he preached unto the people parables, what did they understand? A lot of them didn't understand much. They understood a lot of nice stories, but they did not hear. They did not understand. And that's the way they are as well. And you know, folks, that is why it is so important that when we witness the Word of God to the lost, there is absolutely, again, no reason in the world to get into all the great doctrines that you know. There's no reason to get into all the truths that you know. Don't try to impress someone with your knowledge. Focus on what is the power of God and the salvation, which is the gospel of Christ. Focus upon the telling of that story. Tell them what Christ has done for you in your life. Tell them how he saved you from your sins and how he's been with you ever since. Verse number 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. When we are led by the Spirit, we understand that we are not allowed to, that there are things in this life that we are not allowed to do. Let's just face it. There are things in this life we're not allowed to do, but we, you know what? We also understand that we have great liberty in Christ. We are free from the law. Now, later on in this book, we'll kind of come back to this point as well, but later on in this book, we're going to see that there's an issue on whether to eat food that had been offered up to idols there before they were sold in the marketplace to eat. Paul said, you know what? You have liberty to eat of those things. You have liberty to eat. But you know what? He also gave some restrictions on that later on, and we'll focus on some of those things later on. But you know what? Even with restrictions, eating it was never a problem. Eating it was never a sin. We have the liberty in Christ to do so. The problem comes in when others from without try to judge us for what we do, and because we don't follow what they follow. Listen, it ought to be our sincere desire, not to cause another one in our faith to stumble, one who is weaker in the faith to stumble. It ought to be our desire in the faith not to cause offense to anyone. But that being said, we are not to be judged by others. That's what Paul's saying here. We're not to be judged by others. We are judged by the Spirit within. It's the Spirit that within that directs us. I want you to think, folks, about the many times that Christ himself was judged on this earth by the Pharisees because they did not think that he kept the law like he should. He didn't keep the law like they expected. You know what? They judged him over the keeping of the Sabbath, didn't he? They judged him over that, but yet he was the Lord of the Sabbath. They judged him over the fact that he drank wine. They called him what? A wine bibber. They called him a drunk, basically. But you know what? And over fasting as well. And that was another thing. You know, the Pharisees, they like to fast a couple times a week, but he didn't fast. But you know what? Christ, at no point in his life upon this earth did he ever break the law of God. He followed them the way that they were intended, not the way that man interpreted. He followed the law as it was intended and given by God. He did not follow, though, the yoke of man's tradition. Listen, we have so much liberty in Christ, and we need to live a life of liberty, let it led by the directing of the Holy Spirit, and let Him judging us. Now, we're going to talk more about that later on, and the judging from within and without, and what to do. There's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about later on when it comes to that. But for now, let's go ahead and continue on. Verse number 16, the last verse of this chapter, says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Again, the only way to know the things of God is to first know God. We must first know God. Now, as I said, that brings us to the end of the chapter, but that's not where we're going to stop at tonight. You see, Paul here in this chapter 2, he's been speaking about the wisdom that we have in the Spirit. He's been talking to those who are wise only in this world and how they cannot understand the things of God. But now he's going to jump back over to division in chapter 3, and that's what we're going to do, is we're going to try to tie how he was tie these things together between chapter 1 and chapter 2, or chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, in verse 1, we're just going to cover a few verses here tonight, and we'll let go. But it says here in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able." Paul then goes back after saying all of these things and tells them that when how he was with them, he never again spoke to them in the great wisdom of the Word. He was only ever able to tell them the basics of the Word of God, teach them the gospel and the things that surrounded the gospel. Now, he calls them babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. He gave them the milk of the gospel. They were not able to bear the doctrines. They were not able to bear the strong meat. They were not able to bear it then. And now, even after he has left, and after they have continued under the preaching of another, they are not able to bear the doctrines of Christ. Listen, my friends, there are a lot of babes in Christ in this world. There are a lot of babes in Christ. They know of their salvation. They know of the love of God. They know of the love of the gospel. And they love the gospel. But the true wisdom of this word, of His Word, they will never come to knowledge of. Because why? In their flesh, they are still yet carnal. They have never set themselves towards gaining spiritual maturity by the reading of His Word and by the listening to the preaching of His Word. They are shallow, and they will yet remain babes in Christ as long as they continue that path. Look in verse 3 here. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal?" That's getting back to chapter 1. That's what we talked about last week in the divisions. I am of Paul, I am Apollos, I am of Cephas. Paul is telling them that the divisions that are occurring among them are not of the Spirit of God, but exist only because there is carnality in their lives. They have not grown into spiritually mature Christians. Brothers and sisters, we are going to close here tonight. We're going to close here in this verse, but we're going to begin with this same thought next week and what God is speaking of here. But over the next week, I want you to consider this. I want you to think of the many divisions that we see in churches today. Not just churches, Sovereign Grace, Landmark Baptist churches, but even other churches. We see so much division even among them. And consider where those divisions typically come from. Most of the time, they go back to carnality. They go back to carnality. When people try to start reasoning with the thoughts of this world rather than reasoning with the truth of God's Word, that's when division comes in. And Paul here is exhorting us to spiritual maturity. Because when we are spiritually mature, these divisions should be less and less among His people. So we're going to end there tonight. Next week we'll kind of continue on with the same type of thought as we continue on in chapter 3. And we'll also be speaking about our rewards next week in chapter 3 as well. I hope that this has been a blessing to you so far as we've been going through this book, and pray that God will continue to bless us as we go through this book as well.